You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
I was just showing Sean there, Dan.
Oh, wow. What's the... Is that one of those replica you build models or like a prepackaged thing?
This
He
one,
made it himself.
I made it myself. You don't think I
Oh,
got
you
buy
made it
things?
3D printed.
3D printed,
Ooh.
indeed. 3D
That.
printed.
There
3D
she is.
printed. Do 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 do
Very.
do do. Comes apart as two pieces.
That's very cool.
Going for
I'm
a fancy dress.
envious.
Going to a fancy dress party, needed a costume, had to get Phaser to go with it.
Nice. Nice.
Got my communicator
Yes,
over there behind me that
a
goes beep,
likely
when you open
story.
it. Yeah. Hang on. Oh, I've got enough cable. I might be able to reach it. As he comes back. I think you got one of these as well, Dan.
Oh, look. Me too.
Oh,
Oh, you got
yeah.
one as well.
Yeah.
No, mine doesn't work now.
Mine's kicking around here somewhere, but I think I could just about reach it.
Oh, they got, hang on. Oh, I think the battery's gone already. That was clever. Only bought it yesterday. Oh, there you go.
I see you're 3D printed, and I raise you Lego.
Oh, Lego. Oh, no. I could shoot yours and it will fall apart.
Pew 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 pew. Pew
Yeah, I've got a bunch around here somewhere too, but I can't quite figure out where they are at the moment.
Oh dear. So I was really pleased with that when I saw that one. There is another version that is like a dark blue grey as the body. I want to print that one out. And you can also get one because this is just solid printed. So the wheels don't work, they don't do anything. But there is one where the wheels will work and it'll flip the front open.
Oh, yes.
You can get some magnets to hold this in instead of it. It's just a bit loose at the minute, but you can get magnets to hold that.
Living the dream, using an early replicator to build a phaser. Oh.
And I was just showing everybody else Hermione's wand because Linda wants to go with Hermione, so I had to print out the wand as well. Oh, there he is again. Ooh, a new one.
Hey.
Hang on a second, matey. Let me change it so you can hear what the fellows are saying.
Hear that? We're the fellas.
Yeah.
We're
The
the
fellas.
fellas.
We are the three fellas.
Right.
We need to talk, don't we,
Okay.
so you can
One
tell the
minute.
difference.
So Riley's reading a new
We're
book
just
this
staring
week.
away. Ah,
He
oh,
started
cool.
this yesterday.
Whoa.
Hey.
So do you remember Sean, Paul, and Dan? Do you
Yeah,
know what's
remember?
really funny?
Hello.
They all have bald heads and they all wear glasses. Well, Paul's not bald. He's got some hair there. Look, okay.
I'm growing my hair out. You just can't see it.
I have Hermione's wand here. Look, I've got Hermione's wand.
Crazy.
I could probably make myself disappear. And I'm back.
Revelio, he's got a cut. Oh, I was worried there. I was seriously worried. Do
You want to tell everybody what book you're reading?
What book are you reading? The chamber. Is that a chamber of secrets, did
Nice.
you say? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, that one. What
What's
part of
happening
you
in the book?
have you got up to? What's happened so far?
Well, I just read this page, and it says Vernon comes near Harry Potter. This is
Ooh.
cool. Oh, it's a bit scary, but wants to tell. Why is Vernon saying that? Come on now. Oh, hang on a minute. Are they? Is it the thingy?
Thinky. Not the technical
Yes.
word.
Yeah, what's the thing that they turn into Snape and the spider with roller skates on?
Oh, the Boggart.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the it becomes your greatest fear and all
That's
that.
it, yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
You got lots of teeth. I can see all your teeth.
I did tell you, matey, as the books go on, they do get a little bit scarier with each one. So we might have to stop for a little while after this one, because I think they do start to get really quite scary as Harry gets older.
Put it in the freezer. Yeah.
And
Protected.
now I'm on chapter 8.
Oh.
Red Death Baby. Red Death Baby Party. Ooh. I'm doing a lot of life. Spending a bank account over there. And ultimately. Pomfrey. Madam Pomfrey.
Oh.
Now with a mad one was headed to prison. Or some state of and spot of holes among his staff and her students. All right. Well, we're gonna have a little chat, matey, while you read your book before this turns into a
There we go.
2-hour book reading session
Could
by
do a Harry Potter book club.
Riley.
Yeah, there we
We
go.
could. I was going to say we could next. We could
Thank
do a podcast with Riley and have him give his opinions on the book.
you.
We could give our
That would be
opinions on the
great.
book.
You are warm in that thermal t-shirt.
Don't be mean. Put the heating on.
Hello and welcome to your special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza podcast. We are absolutely thrilled to have you join us for another great episode. I'm Dan in the UK, and as ever, I'm accompanied by the awesome delivery team of
Paul from the UK.
John in Canada.
Casey in the UK.
And we are the show that serves up a slice of life with everything from compelling interviews to current events and pop culture with our own quirky life stories. So, speaking of, this is the first time we're recording since Christmas 2025. How are we, everybody? How was Christmas?
Too short. It went by too fast. I had
Yeah.
only 4 days off,
Oh.
and and then back to work again. So it was exhausting. No time to
Nasty.
rest.
Well, I made sure I had a nice long holiday this time. I booked a few extra days off before Christmas, so I managed to get a full 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Two
2 weeks.
weeks.
Excuse me?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
So yeah, it was busy, visiting family mostly, eating lots of food, eating lots of chocolate, drinking not much alcohol, but enough. Yeah, so it was nice. Unfortunately, I had to go back into work, so
That is
yeah,
unfortunate.
the
Sucks.
downside. Yeah,
Yeah.
Casey,
Casey?
how was yours?
It was good. It was as good as I think it could have been, because it was our first Christmas without my mum, and that was it was bittersweet, I think, because the kids really enjoyed it, and it was a super magical Christmas for them because they're so small and everything's really, magical and real. And so that was nice, and that really offset any of the difficulties that I was feeling around my mum being gone for the first year. So I got Riley and Lee some metal detectors, but we're just waiting for the right weather for them to go out
Ooh.
metal detecting. So I'm
Ooh.
waiting to see if it's going to be a successful present or not, because I spend a lot of time down at the beach in the sea, did my cold water swimming, which is really great over Christmas and New Year. Lots of enthusiastic cold water swimming over those times, and people think that there would be less of it, but there's actually more of it around the festive period, and lots of people going in for the first time, and that's always really nice. So I'm waiting to be able to go down to the beach and ask them if they want a metal detect at the same time, but it's just not been great weather for it yet. I imagine that our weather's a lot fairer than Sean's is at the moment, but it's not metal detective weather.
You know what, though? You know what's interesting about that? The last few weeks, myself, I've been researching metal detectors because I want to get one. So now that you have one, as soon as you go and do it, we want a full report because,
Yeah, I'll take
yeah.
some videos. Any finds that we get, I'll share them with you. This is what we got on our little last journey. I'm hoping that it's going to be a success because sometimes Lee and I will just sit there and watch videos of people doing like magnet fishing and metal detecting, and Lee's always really interested in that stuff. So I thought,
Yes.
why not let him do it himself?
I've got both of those in my Amazon wish list, a magnet and a metal detector. I don't know which ones to get, so I haven't, but I'll wait for your full report.
Yeah, well, if you get to go first, or maybe we can compare.
Well, just looking out my window at the 4 feet of snow, I don't think I'll be going
Yeah,
soon.
I mean, people might lose things in snow. That's
Yeah,
got
like
to
the
be
car.
easier
So
to
you,
dig through
yeah.
than
So
the car.
you need your metal detector to find your car.
That is
There it
true.
is. Yeah.
I knew I was around here somewhere.
Could be a whole
So
new
yeah,
segment every episode.
Yeah.
Christmas was lovely, as lovely as it could be. That's all I'll say about my Christmas.
Good. Okay. Pretty good. So, Sean, how many dogs have you found frozen to lampposts?
64.
Have to just snap them off and, defrost them.
Yeah,
Yeah,
deliver
that's
them.
right.
Yeah. It's Christmas. Yeah, it was here 2 weeks off, being part of local government here, so I was off for the full 2 weeks, and yeah, it was nice and quiet. It was we didn't actually travel out to family that much this year, and we didn't host either, so we got away with quite a bit. We only had to go out on Boxing Day and then the day after for my family, and then that was it. We spent the rest of the time at home. My wife went stir crazy. She's the person who has to go out. She does not like staying indoors, whereas we've got, three lap cats of kids, and me, who enjoy just being indoors the whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah, wife was going crazy, but we were fine. We were happy. The kids downloaded Helldivers 2, and they were more than happy to play each other on that for the rest of time. So yeah, it was all good. Yeah, it was that is such a good game if you ever get a chance to play it. Because Joshua's upstairs on his PC, and then we can have the Xbox running on a different account. So Zachary took a turn with Joshua, and then they teamed up and went to go kill some bugs on some far off alien world. And then when Zachary had kind of had enough and wanted to go off and watch Roblox or something else or do something, then Nathan took a turn, and then he was killing bugs with Joshua on a different planet somewhere else. It was just
Wow.
so good, so good. Ah, I felt proud that they can finally share an activity.
Yeah, that's the great thing about the multiplayer stuff, or the couch co-op, or online co-op. What I've been finding with Riley's really wanted to buy some new games for his Switch, but they're so expensive because they kind of don't ever really, Nintendo products just kind of maintain their price for all of time, or just get more expensive. And with Riley's birthday being in the late part of the year, and his and having Christmas, he used his birthday and Christmas money to buy himself Just Dance on the Nintendo Switch, which almost killed me. I was like, this is not good. I need to take a breather. And Riley was like, one more, one more. Which was not great because I'm not a great dancer anyway, and I definitely don't have the energy of a 6-year-old. And he also bought Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which is a game that he's wanted to buy for over a year. And it does have couch co-op on it, but but you both characters can't be Kirby. So
Oh.
Riley and June fight over who's going to be Kirby and then who's going to be Waddle Dee, who's the other character. So it's great that they can play together and they want to play together, but then we hit the hurdle of like, oh, now we're fighting over who's gonna. So we're, I mean, once we get past that, we'll be like, all systems go. They're
Duncan.
cooperating, they're having fun. Hopefully, we get there soon, or I'm gonna be forking out for a second switch, probably.
Yeah, for us that was years and years ago when Lego Indiana Jones came out. Everyone wanted to be Lego Indiana Jones, and until you unlock free play where everyone can be whatever they want, that was always the source of arguments. I don't want to be like Short Round. I don't want to be whatever. I want to be Indiana Jones. Like at least in Batman there are other superheroes you can play as, but yeah, Indiana Jones you were stuck. Yeah, so that was Christmas. All about New Year as well. Anyone celebrate? Anyone just went to bed?
Yeah.
Went to bed. That's it.
Yeah.
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 Very quiet.
Watched the fireworks out the bedroom window and then went to bed. That's it.
Yeah.
We
June was
tried as
asleep
many traditions
early.
as we can.
June was asleep early, but Riley was awake until midnight. It was actually 8 o'clock. And so we counted down and we rang in the new year with Riley, and he had his little juice bottle, and we cheersed him with our glasses of Prosecco. And yeah, he saw in his first New Year.
Nice.
There you
No,
go.
he's fine. I'm sure his nose is in the book. He's all right. Now we tried as many traditions as we could. We did the whole the Spanish thing with the 12 grapes, eating the 12 grapes on every ding of the Big Ben, the letting in the new year, letting out the old year, the opening the back doors, everything like that. There was another one as well. Oh, I lost track. We just wanted to try all the different traditions and see which one sticks. But now they want to do them all again next year. So it's like, oh, kind of backfired on us then. Ah, oh, great. That's fantastic.
But the Spanish don't have Big Ben, so how can they eat grapes at
Yeah, they can't do it. Yeah. That's how I'll argue it, is
We're
that
the
actually, no,
only
we didn't do
place
it
in the whole
properly.
world that rings in the new year. We're
With Big
the
Ben. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
No, that was it. That was the New Year's and everything like that. I did just get back from another weekend away. So I had the 2 weeks off, went back to work for 5 days, and then went away for my annual weekend with Dave and Steve, my two old uni guys. It's our
Oh.
20th year of meeting up this year, of trying to keep in contact. We missed 1 year when we were having Zachary, and I couldn't make it. But generally, we've met up once a year, round about January, because it's the only year or month where nothing's happening. So everyone's made plans all the rest of the year, and January seems to be the only one that's open. So just got back from that. We rented out a little cabin in the woods in a little countryside place called Tilford, and we played games, watched movies, realized we were old men and couldn't drink past midnight. So we went to bed at about 12:30, and that was it. So yeah, really, really good fun. Good to see them, and I did try and get them as future guests for a future episode, probably talking
Oh.
about tabletop gaming and things that have changed over the years, because they've got classic ones that have been around for donkey's years, and then some new ones which we played when we were there. There was one called Zombicide, which was very fun. You play as sort of medieval knights and mages and all this sort of stuff, whilst a zombie attack happens in a little village, and you've got to fend them all off whilst you try and find the magic potion that will kill the master zombie. It's really good fun. It was really silly, but yeah, we got to play around with all sorts of things and not be dad for a weekend.
Yeah, and it's like you're like, wow, I haven't seen this person. Who is this person? Oh, it's me, pre-parent. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. How are you doing? I'm tired. I want to go to
We
bed. Yeah.
were all sat there, and we were watching. We love a thing called Mystery Science Theater 3000, which is where they watch really bad movies. Maybe ties into the theme. Really bad movies, and there's two robot characters, like puppets, and this janitor who's been stuck on a space station who have to watch these movies, and they riff on them whilst the movie's playing. One of my favorite episodes is Mitchell, really bad cop movie from the 70s, which was so bad and still doesn't make any sense, even though I've just watched it again. And they are they're constantly riffing on it. They're taking the Mickey out of it. We were sat there. We started the movie about half an hour till midnight, and around about midnight we were all we were all dad snoring, and we kind of woke each other up, and we were like, "No, we can't do this anymore. We'll get up and we'll watch it in the morning." So we literally just took ourselves to bed whilst watching things that we used to watch at 4 a.m. in the morning. But so there
That's
you go.
so good though. You've managed to keep that up for so long, because I feel like people are like, wow, let's do this, and then it never happens, and you're doing it. That's great.
We want to try and do a more special one where all of us, the bigger group, the people that we don't see as much, we want to try and get them all together. So we'll see if we can do that for year 21, when it's old enough to drink.
But can't be bothered to.
But can't be bothered.
Yeah, he'll be drinking more than you
Oh,
will.
God. Literally, two drinks, and we were like, oh, that's enough. I don't need any more. But there we go. Right. Well, there we go. That was our Christmases. That was our New Year's.
We would normally at this point, Dan, do a fun fact, but I didn't ask anybody to bring any this week because I totally forgot. But I do actually have a sort of fun facty questiony thing talking about Big Ben.
This month's fun facts.
How many X's are on the face of Big Ben? Now, sorry, I'll say the Queen Elizabeth Tower, but you know what I mean by Big Ben, the clock. How many X's
Ooh.
are on the faces of the clock?
So there's an X for 10. There's an I there's an XI for 11. And then there's nothing for 12, or like, I don't know. And then is there like little X's counting out all the tens minutes on the outside? Ooh, I don't know.
Give me a number.
Let's go
42.
for
One, 20.
10.
Right, so Dan is 10 out. Casey's 20 out. And Sean is 42. It has no X's on it. It has F's instead of
I should have
X's.
known that this was one of your
A little
really
trick ones, of
annoying
course.
trick questions.
I'm going to write that down in my future notes. Paul always trick fact. There
And put it on
to
a
be
sticky note,
fair,
stick
I
it.
have never been to your country, so
That's, yeah, no, that's fair.
that's true. Yeah, that's on us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's on you. The fact that I've never been there, that's your fault.
Right. Where's my Brit card? I need to hand it back. I'll give it back at the
Yeah,
office
I wouldn't
tomorrow.
say I've ever seen Big Ben in person or the clock in person.
I've seen it
I
about
just
three
see
or
it.
four times in person, but I've never
Have
noticed it's
you?
an F. It's weird. Anyway, on with the show.
On with the
Or
show.
are we here for a show?
Yeah, I think we are. Before we move into the main segment, was there any feedback before going into?
We did have feedback this month from
Ooh.
our good, well, I say this month because obviously this is going to come out on February. We did get some feedback. I think it was either just before or just after our last episode that we recorded and sent out just before Christmas. So apologies if I've read this out before, but I think it came in just a little bit late for last month's. It's from our good friend of the podcast, Bill Lamond. He says, "Hi
Ooh,
guys, I am
time's a
writing
bond.
before tonight's tabletop role-playing game starts." Well, there you go. You see, here's a fan of
Here we go.
tabletop role-playing games. We've got an episode just for you coming up soon, Bill.
Here
Don't
we
worry
go.
about it. He says, "Thanks for reading my email. Glad you received it and liked it. I have seen and enjoyed several of the movies on your various lists." So this is obviously the film list that we have. "I really love Chappie, having heard just enough about it and having a roommate with streaming services. For me, it was a wonderful story about love in found family, and I love the ending. I can't think of anything else because my friends are telling tales of woe because of the way the banks handle deposit and withdrawal timing, causing, in one case, a $350 sorry, in bounced check charges because a deposit wasn't processed in time. Make of that what you will. I'm grateful that I have just one direct deposit government check. That's enough that I haven't been hit with a low balance charge in over 30 years. Stay safe, Bill Lamont.
Ooh.
There you go.
There we go.
Yep, Chappie's a great movie. Highly
It
recommended.
it's a fabulous movie. Yes, I do agree with that. It's really good. Yeah, and by all means, Bill, keep those emails coming.
Yeah, and
Absolutely,
keep those
yes.
charges down.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. But we're going to move on with the main segment. Or a minute, let's get the clapperboard ready. Take one. This is the first part of the segment. There we go.
Oh, that was a bit of a
Right, so we've
muffled
got our main
start,
segment. Yeah, we go. Yeah, I don't know how
sorry.
that was
Yeah.
going to turn out on the
There you go.
microphone,
That'll
but there
do.
we go. Yeah, there we go. There we go. There we go. Yeah, so take two. Yeah, so our main segment is something we sort of discussed whilst we were doing our movies. So good that Bill is tracking our loved movies, but we thought we'd take it a different direction this time. We're actually going to talk about movies we never want to watch again, never want to see. Maybe we haven't seen it and just don't like the idea of it. The movies that you've seen once, you don't really need to go back to it. But it's movies we don't want to watch again in some capacity. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I've got one
There we
here,
go.
and Leah and I recorded a segment on this for our other podcast, but we've never put it out yet because we just haven't found an opportunity to do so. So this is an exclusive for Cuts with Pizza listeners. It's called Amanda and the Alien. Have either of you heard about it, seen it, know
Nope.
anything about
No,
it?
never
No.
heard of that one.
Okay. Well, I came across it at the charity shop, as you guys would call it, the thrift store, and it was sitting there on the shelf and it was a VHS case. And I'm like, oh, what is this? Amanda and the Alien. So I looked at it and it said screening copy only. I'm like, ooh, that sounds exclusive. This must be a really good freaking movie. And who's in it? Oh, Stacy Keach and Michael Dorn. I know both of those guys. This has got to be fantastic. So we brought it home and we watched it, and it was about the worst thing any of us had ever seen. Let me just give you a quick description of the thing here. Amanda and the Alien, or it's in the United Kingdom, it's called Alien Love, is a 1995 made-for-cable science fiction comedy film starring Nicole Eggert as Amanda Patterson. And okay, it's based on a film by or a A short story by Robert Silverberg, whoever that is. Amanda Patterson, a typical Gen X girl and employee at an upscale clothing store, is leading a relatively lonely and unremarkable life. All this changes when an alien that's been held at a secret military installation escapes by taking over the body of one of the base employees. Amanda finds the fugitive alien and decides to help him hide from the government agents chasing him, a seemingly easy task as the alien must change host bodies every 2 days. So it goes on and on from there. And it's nonsensical. The effects are atrocious. It is a 1995 TV movie, so that makes sense. And you can see the look on Michael Dorn's face as he's playing this. He's like, I was Worf in the Next Generation. What am I doing in this friggin' thing? It's horrendous. And along the bottom of the screen, screening copy only, not for resale. I'm like, why the hell would anybody want to resell this? So I thought it was going to be something fantastic and picked it up, I think $2, and never need to see it again, that's for sure. It was pretty bad.
No.
And now neither do we.
No.
Yeah, no, definitely not a
Consider yourself
recommend.
warned. Yeah, jeez. That is the weird ones, isn't it? It's like the ones that go back in the back catalogue of those actors and they're just ashamed of it and they never want to talk about it ever again. Yet somehow they always surface and they always come up.
That's it.
Oh,
That's it.
God.
Yeah.
But is it one of those so bad it could be good? Like if you had enough drinks in you
No,
and
not
you could.
even. We didn't want to finish it. It was
Oh,
that bad. Yeah.
yeah. That's hard when there's a book that everybody's like, wow, this is the best book ever written. And you're like, is there something wrong with me? Because I'm halfway through and I am struggling to get through the rest of this book. Like, I don't even want to read it. I just feel peer pressured to get to the end. Not that that's what happened with this film. No one else has ever heard of it, ever.
Nope. So I'm thinking about putting the VHS tape on my Etsy shop. I just haven't got around to it because it is an exclusive screening copy, and who wouldn't want that?
That's true. If I say don't go see this movie, then on your like sales thing on the blurb, you could go dot 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 see this movie, Cosmic yep. Pizza Podcast, Stan Hitch, and then you could just say it'd be absolutely fine.
Agree.
Paul, what would be your choice?
Okay, so I'm going to start with a sensible one to start with, and I think everyone here would agree that we should never watch this again, and that's Schindler's List.
That's on mine.
There you go.
Not because it's a bad film, but because you only need to see it once.
It's a phenomenal film that everybody should see once. It's as simple as that. If you sit there and go, hey, I want to watch that again, then you're the wrong type of person.
Right.
You should not have to watch that through again. I've watched it now because obviously it's on our list of 100 films we should see before we die. And I will be doing a mini review of it, and I will be putting it out on our YouTube channel because I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to make little reviews, quick videos, pop them out. I've watched 4, I think, or 5 films now on our list. This was the first one because I wanted to get it out of the way. It's everything everybody says. It's harrowing. It's depressing. It's a very accurate historical recreation of what happened. The thing that got me was the ending, where at the very end, Schindler is there and he's managed to save, various people say different numbers, 1,100 to 1,200 people is the highest number I've seen. And he's there as he's about to drive away from the camp, and all the Jews are there all around him, thanking him for what he's done. And he looks at them and says, I could have done more. I could have saved more. And he breaks down and he's saying, I could have, this pin badge, this Nazi pin badge on my shirt, I could have melted it down and saved 2 more people. And you're just sitting there. I was shouting at the screen going, no, you couldn't. You have done more than anybody could have done, for the life that you led. You've saved 1,100 people, man. That is incredible. In what, how many millions of people, died in that conflict? 1,100 doesn't sound much, but my God, you line up 1,100 people, and guess what? They did at the end of the film. They got all of the survivors that were still alive many years after this event. They lined them all up, and they all put a stone on Oskar Schindler's grave. And alongside the actors who played their parts in the film. And I was just in bits. I then, the next day, I came down and my youngest son was there, and I said, oh my goodness, I've seen Schindler's List. He said, oh, I've heard of it, but I've not seen it. And I said, the ending is so powerful. And I described it to him, and I burst out into tears. I just couldn't, I couldn't tell him about it. It was just so, so emotional. So yeah, it's an incredible film, made even more powerful by seeing video at the end and seeing these people who survived, and to say that there's like 6,000 people alive because of this man, because of obviously generations now live that wouldn't have lived if he hadn't have saved them. So yeah, but you don't need to see it again once you've seen it once. But everybody should see it once.
Yes, that's exactly why it was on my list too.
Yeah, it should be in schools, it should be shown.
Yeah. I wonder if it's something about that subject matter, because I couldn't watch The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas again or read the book. I think once you've you just
I know, and I've just seen and I've just seen Hacksaw Ridge last night with friend of the podcast Lee, my friend Lee. We watched it, and because we were trying to find something to watch. And I said, we're trying to go through different streaming services. YouTube wasn't playing and all this. So eventually I said, oh, there you go, Hacksaw Ridge. That's on our list of films to watch. And we watched it. And at the end of it, I sort of glanced out the corner of my eye, and Lee's got his glasses off, and he's dabbing his eyes with
Oh,
tissue,
God.
and there's tears pouring down my face. I thought, oh my God, not another film. I'm glad we got these out the way before we started this list.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God, what a film. It's viciously
Yeah.
violent and horrible, but the
Oh.
last part of it, because the depiction of war is gruesome, it really is awful. Bodies lying around, bits of bodies lying around, rats eating bodies, and bullets going
Oh
through
my
people's heads and blowing
God.
their heads off, and all this type of thing. However, the ending, of course, where, and I've forgotten the name of the guy's name now, the main character, obviously, this is a real story,
Desmond Doors.
Desmond
Yeah.
Doss. He
Yeah.
stays on top of this plateau, if you like. There's a big cliff. He stays on top of the plateau and pulls out people who are still alive. It's patching them up and sending them down to be, obviously, down to the little mobile hospital area. He managed to get out, well, they reckon somewhere between 75 to 100 people off this ridge with Japanese people fighting everywhere. So yeah, it was a heck of a thing.
So you recommend?
Yeah, wholeheartedly on that one. Yeah, definitely. The idea of the character as well is that he, for religious reasons, doesn't carry a gun and doesn't want to take part in killing at all. He vehemently says, "I will not carry a gun into the warfare. I will only be a medic, and I will save people as much as I possibly can." Does get him into trouble, you know. Obviously, you see him being bullied as he goes through training and things like this, and he gradually proves himself by the fact that he is saving so many lives. And then in the final conflict, yeah, he managed to save hundreds of people, including some Japanese as well. You know, he famously administers medicine on the field to whoever needs it, because that's his thing. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to
Yeah,
give it
because
a
it.
go then.
Oh, definitely give it a go. It's harrowing, but he does say at the end, oh yeah, because they said somebody's still up there and they're sending down all these patients, including a couple of Japs, but they didn't make it. Yeah, right. Yeah, you didn't bother doing anything about them, did you? Yeah. So, but then again, at the end of that film, they interview him. They show an interview with him because he passed away a few years ago, and interviewed the guy who bullied him as a sergeant who bullied him, who became one of his friends because he realized just how good a person he was and not just being an idiot, trying not to fire a gun in war and stuff. So it was incredible. Good film.
Well, that does sound like
I
something
think that
that
was on my list.
No, to
Of things
watch.
not to watch or to watch.
To watch.
Yes, it was to watch. Yes, it was one of yours. Yeah.
Yes.
Yay. And I've watched the Pirates of the Caribbean because I needed a palate cleanser after Schindler's List.
Yeah,
No,
exactly.
no
That's what I
kidding.
mean. That's what those films are
Yeah.
great for.
Oh, and speaking of palate cleansers, how about this promo for another podcast on the ESO Network?
Bosh. Enterprise Planning is a podcast where we talk about Star Trek Enterprise. We are Trek experts.
You're aware that none of us have watched Enterprise before, right? We have whatever is the opposite of knowledge.
Oh, and it's not a normal rewatch podcast. Each week, only one of us watches the episode, and then we explain it to the others who haven't seen it.
That means you don't actually have to watch the episodes we're talking about because we'll explain it all for you.
Oh, yeah, we would never actually make anyone watch Enterprise.
Enterprise Planning, the podcast where we explain Star Trek Enterprise to each other and to you.
I've got to make a list. I've got to make a list of the films I've seen because I can't remember whether it's four or five now.
Is it my turn to say something I don't want to watch again?
Yeah.
It is indeed.
So Lee got me to watch this film called Old Boy.
Okay.
No, right.
And I just didn't enjoy it. I just did not enjoy it. He was like, it's a great film. I was like, it's horrible. It's like, oh, but the plot twist. I was like, the plot twist does not negate the incest. And I do not like it. And it was really graphic. And obviously, he didn't know at the time what was happening. So, for anybody that hasn't seen the film, it's about a man held captive for no apparent reason for years. And he's suddenly given a cell phone, money, and expensive clothes and is released. And unless he finds out the identity of his captor, an even worse fate awaits him. And spoiler alert, I might have just given away that worse fate. But I watched Old Boy and I thought it was really interesting at first. When it opened up, he was in this weird room and the TV's playing and he's like a shell of a man. And then, you know, he gets out and he doesn't really know where to go or what to do. I was like, what's going on here? This is really interesting. I want to know more. But then, like, as the plot unfolded, I was just like, this could have been, like, this part was so unnecessary. Like, it just didn't. People might disagree with me, but yeah, that's a film that I could have just done without watching. Afterwards, I just didn't feel. I felt unsettled. I felt unclean. I was like, I need to wash my eyeballs out. Like, I don't. I did. There was no positive feeling that I had after watching that film. So my first one would be that film, the original or the remake or whichever, like, old boy, not for me.
I think that's fair. That is fair. It's, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty gruesome movie.
Can't say I've ever seen it.
Yeah, don't. I wouldn't.
I won't.
Yeah.
I asked Lee what film he would choose, and he said Requiem for a Dream. And when I asked him why, he said because it's horrible and depressing.
Yeah. I mean, I love watching it because it's really sweet and it's a very nice, it's a very arty film. It's a beautiful film. But yeah, I just can't bring myself to watch that again. It's such a heart wrench. But it's a nice kind of sweet ending at the end when things happen. And I don't want to give it away if anyone does want to watch it. But yeah, what happens to our two main characters? At the end and the decisions they make. But yeah, no, I along those lines of don't want to watch it again, even though it is a masterpiece, I'm going with The Shining from 1980. We did show this to Joshua. Joshua's really getting into his movies. Like I said, he's becoming a bit of a Wes Anderson fan, but he's also now branching out. We've shown him some really big arty films, some classic action films, you know, your popcorn movie all the way up to high art. And The Shining was our introduction to Stephen King. He hasn't actually watched any adaptations of Stephen King up to that point. Watched it, started sitting there thinking, yeah, this is going to be great. All these beautiful vistas come up, the snowy fields, as Jack is waking his way to the interview to be the keeper, the caretaker for this hotel that shuts during the winter months. And within 5 seconds, it was just like I was there last weekend. I could not keep my eyes open. Every now and then I would wake myself up and think, oh, yeah, it's this scene. It's this great. It just kept going over and over.
This is one of the best films I've made. Like, I know.
I was desperately trying to keep his enthusiasm. Fortunately, my wife is even bigger Stephen King fan, so she kept managed to keep the momentum and everything. And he did love it, and he thought it was beautiful, and he was constantly, you know, picking it apart and seeing, oh yeah, they did this because it's a metaphor and all this kind of, he was already picking up all that stuff and how the shots all line up. And I remember all of this arty stuff, and I love it, but for some reason, just could not keep my eyes open again. So much did I not want to see this that my subconscious was blocking it and preventing me from watching it last time we saw it. So yeah, I don't need to see The Shining again, I think, because I need to sleep.
Well, isn't it long and boring and drawn out? I've seen it once years and years ago, and it just takes forever to get anywhere. Is that right?
It does take a long time. The characters are often talking for a really long time, just maybe either to themselves in like a mirror or to one character really, really quietly. They'll be explaining something, and then it's just long panning shot of an empty hallway. And then there's another quiet conversation at the end. That's what I got because I was fast asleep through most of it. But I can't bring myself to watch it again. Not because it's a bad movie, but just because I can't get through it anymore.
Fair.
Yeah.
Sean, have you got another pick?
I do. It's The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Oh. Have either of you heard of that?
I've heard of it. Isn't that where
there's a play, isn't it?
I think it was based on a play, and Leah and I we reviewed it for the Have Coffee We'll Travel podcast not too long ago. Another VHS pickup that we had, and let's give it a go. I don't think either of us have seen it before, and it had it's from 1982. Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, Jim Nabors is in it, so a huge cast. We had no idea what it was about, and it happened to be a musical. I hate musicals. Musicals are the worst genre ever in the entire world. And oh, it was, I mean, I got a thing here on Wikipedia. It says here it's based on the 1978 stage musical directed by blah blah blah, doesn't matter who. It says Earl Dodd, the sheriff of Landville County, has been in a 12-year relationship with Miss Mona, who runs the Chicken Ranch, a brothel outside the town of Gilbert in his jurisdiction. He does not interfere with her business, which has been a fixture of the town since 1910, regardless of legality. Occasionally interrupted by Deputy Fred Wilkins, the pair have a pleasant arrangement as secret lovers. Almost everyone in town approves of Miss Mona, a public-minded citizen who regularly donates to charity, and except for her line of work, is decent and law-abiding. And then, of course, the governor wants to get involved and shut her down, and all kinds of hilarity ensues. One of the main things of the show is that the football team, they've either won their game or they're a graduating class, and they all head to the brothel because, you know, what else do high school students do other than go to Miss Mona's for a good time? And it just kept going on, and there was all these singing scenes, and they were unnecessary, first of all. And some of the characters who were singing, it didn't make sense as to why their character would be doing it. And we almost turned this one off too, but you know, the things we do for our podcast listeners to give them the proper reviews, it was just horrendous. And we both said, I don't think we're either one of us ever need to see this thing again. So great acting. Like, the acting was fabulous, all those big name stars, but the plot, the reasoning behind it, 1982, nothing like that would ever be made today. So
no,
don't watch it.
Yeah. Is it basically your Etsy shop is going to be full of movies that you don't want to watch anymore and just palm them out, just get rid of them?
It's a good idea. That's Brusco yeah. Robot Toys on Etsy, folks.
Paul, where's your next one?
My next one is a bizarre film from 1964, I think it is, starring Peter Sellers. And I'm a big fan of Peter Sellers. Unfortunately, two of his films are on my list. this one is Dr. Strangelove, full title, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. It's a bizarre film. A mentally unstable American general orders a hydrogen bomb attack on the Soviet Union. Whoa! And hilarity ensues. Triggering a path of global nuclear holocaust. That a war room full of politicians and generals frantically tries to stop. You've got Dr. Strangelove, played by Peter Sellers, a wheelchair-bound scientist, mad general, whatever he's supposed to be, with the right hand of Adolf Hitler attached to himself or something for some reason. And every now and again, this thing keeps going, give the old German salute.
Oh, no.
Oh, for God's sake. And it's 1964, so it's not long after the war. And around that time, you were still taking the mickey out of the Germans, and you were still, you know, it was still the sore subject and all this type of thing. Lots of war films were showing about how the Germans lost the war and all this type of thing at that time. So it is a product of its own time. It's a product of Peter Sellers' head, I think, although he didn't write it. Stanley Kubrick wrote it and directed it.
I was just going to say, the funny thing about that is that's a Kubrick film, and so is The Shining.
Yes.
I see a bat there.
As well, or is that not?
And he did Clockwork Orange like too, which is another one that I could put on.
Yeah, another bizarre film, yeah.
Yeah.
There's just nothing good about this film. It's horrible. Black and white. It's,
oh, no. Yeah. Darren Aronofsky. They're both just very weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a good film. I've seen it once, and that was many, many years ago. And I thought, what on earth is this? And how can you get away with this mad guy doing the Hitler salute and trying to get his arm back down again? He's fighting his arm. He's going, doing a very bad German accent, which, again, at the time was... shouldn't have been done then. It definitely shouldn't be done now. So yeah, I don't know how often this thing even makes the TV anymore. I don't think I've even ever seen it on TV for so many years. It's an awful, awful film. Anybody seen it?
I've got it in the Stanley Kubrick box set that I bought about a dozen years ago that I've not watched, other than Spartacus. And I don't need to ever see that again either.
Spartacus is a good film.
It's a good film, but it's long and it's dragged.
It is
out.
Long, yeah.
The last time I think I watched it was uni, and again, you were drunk. It was on. It just happened to be there. I can't say I could repeat
It's got an
everything that happened in
intermission
the
in
movie,
it.
but yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's actually I've actually enjoyed editing the video of this and then
Mm.
converting it to a podcast. It's just as it's just easy. It can take a little bit longer, but it is just as easy to do it that way around as it is to do
What are
the
you
movie.
using? So you've recorded
So the vid
the
the
whole
yeah the
meeting and
video is
then.
recorded from the meeting, and then I take that video and put it into a thing called Movie Editor Pro, which I've had for many, many years. I updated it to the new version recently, and you just literally slot it in, and then you can go through frame by frame. You find the bits you want to cut out. It cuts the audio out as well. You can pull the audio out separately and redo things to it. So if volumes are different, then you can get the audio right and then pop it back in. And you can get YouTube, download a few YouTube clips and edit them in as well. So it's
Nice.
a nice little hobby. So yes. Anyway, back
There
to the
we
show.
Casey, what's your next pick?
Well, was it you when I was at uni and I was like 18 years old and I thought I was really edgy. I had a movie night in my student room, which had a half single bed, and if your bed wasn't made, the whole room looked like it was upside down. So that's how small it was. And I had about eight friends pile in, drag a couch in to the point where we pinned the door open with the couch because there wasn't enough room to have the couch completely in there in front of the bed to watch The Human Centipede. And I thought I was being really cool. And I thought I was being like, let's just sit down and watch this horror film together. Like, really unnecessary. Wish I'd never done it. And there's nothing good I can say about that decision or that film or even the greater good that it has served in the horror franchise or the horror genre or anything like that. Just awful, traumatizing.
Did you watch the sequels?
Well, that's the thing. We didn't realize that the disc we were watching it on, which I don't think was an official DVD, had the second film on it. So we didn't realize in between toilet breaks and getting snacks and things that it had gone on to the second movie. There were no credits or anything at the end. And all of a sudden, the people from the first film are like, oh, in the second film. And you're like, hang on a minute, how are they fine now? Like, I'm confused here, what's happened? And then there's a pregnant woman, and then she gets captured, and then she's trying to escape, and she has the baby in while she's trying to drive away, and it gets wedged under the pedals of the car, and it's just
Oh.
like,
Ooh.
there is nothing good about anything to
No.
do with any of those films or anything involved.
I haven't seen them,
Horrible,
but
worst
I
thing.
also no desire either, so.
No.
No.
I
I
don't
mean,
know why I thought I was being cool. I was not cool.
it sounds like you watched it in the most appropriate way, in that, it literally dovetailed from one movie into the next movie without you realizing, which actually is the theme of the film. So, the
That's fair, yeah.
Oh, they're horrible.
Yeah, I think horror must be like the genre that can go bad the most, that you really don't want to go back to, because if it gets to you and it's really horrid, I can't imagine anyone really wants to go back to that one particular type of horror, whether it's your Saw movies, your
No.
Centipedes, or whatever. No,
I
just the
mean,
idea
I
of that movie.
understand that there has to be shock value in some horrors, you know?
Sure.
There's like psychological thrillers, there's horror films that are based like loosely or strongly on like actual like criminals, murderers, serial killers. Like, I understand that there's an element of like realism or reality with some types of horror films, but then with this film, I was like, it is just shock value for the sake of it. It serves no other purpose. Like in the Saw franchise, at least there's like some kind of like weird, like you need to show me that you deserve to live kind of weird, like ideology that in some ways kind of makes sense. And like the first film was incredible. The first Saw was like, whoa, even the actors didn't know what was going to happen. And so the reactions in the film are all like the same as the reactions from people in the audience. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. No one's ever done this in horror. No one's ever done what they've done with the human centipede, and they shouldn't have either.
That's right.
That needs to be the tagline on the movie, definitely.
I can see that as a review in IMDb.
Well, I'm gonna move us away from people sewn to people, and I'm gonna go for a comedy that I never want to see again. In fact, it's a very recent one from 2024. We actually watched it this Christmas. It's Jack Black's Dear Santa.
Oh yeah.
The premise of this is that a child who can't spell very well writes a letter to Santa. Unfortunately, he writes it to Satan because he got the name wrong. And so the letter disappears from the mailbox and goes down to hell, where it is found by a demon played by Jack Black. Great idea for a concept, for a funny idea. You know, the kid does it so that the Satan appears and starts granting wishes. But after about 10 minutes, you realize they've already run out of ideas.
It's true.
He does one weird, wacky thing. He turns up as Santa. Well, no, he turns up in full get-up as a demon-type character, then dresses up as Santa, pretends to be Santa for, like, 5 minutes. Then the kid susses him out, so they just carry on with him knowing that it's a demon, and yet he doesn't want to go through with his wishes, and then nothing. There's no chaos. There's no predicament. Everything kind of resolves at the end anyway. There's this weird backstory that actually the demon isn't really Satan. It's someone, he's pretending to be Satan. He's like one of the minions of hell who just happened to get the letter. But again, we kind of started flicking through the movie because we were guessing what the plot was going to do with his parents who were arguing at the beginning and all sorts of things. So yeah, just don't bother doing it. It's just a waste of time as a movie.
Totally agree. I watched it a year ago, and I have the same assessment as you.
Yeah,
never need to watch it again.
So dull. There wasn't a laugh out loud moment at all. Not even one where that was a decent joke. At least they could carry on from there. It just was dull. So boring.
That's Jack Black needs a paycheck this month.
Really was. It did feel like that. Like he had a contract with that company. He'd already made two good movies for them, and now this was just the third obligation movie.
That's it. Yeah.
So bad. What's your next pick, Sean?
Actually, I don't have any more picks because Paul took Schindler's List from me. But I did come up with a whole list of films that I'm not going to get into deeply, but things I don't need to see again. But the theme is everybody seems to love these except for me. So let's see. We've got Mrs. Doubtfire. Can't friggin' stand it. Ghost. I know it's one of your favorites, but I don't like it. And we've got Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah,
it's not good. And also not good is Spaceballs. It's not funny.
You're right.
It's trying too hard, and I don't like it. So those are the three that everybody seems to love. I've got two here that. I tried to be cultural. I'm gonna be fancy. I'm gonna get into the deeply cultural genres of films. So I think it's 2007 or 8. There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men came out, and they were all over the Oscar lists. And I tried to watch them, and I'm like, these suck. I can't do it. So I'll never watch those again. And finally on my list, it's the Harry Potter franchise. I did not like those films at all. And these might be unpopular opinions, but guess what? That's my opinion, and I'm unpopular. So there you go. Discuss.
No, yeah. I'm with you on all yes, all of them. The Harry Potter, yeah, I've watched them. I won't watch them again. But it's not because they're bad. They are pretty good. I mean, having said that, I did see a clip or a little part of the original, and I thought, oh my God, how bad are those child actors? They are awful. They are not as good as you think. And they've obviously grown up and got better, but no.
Well, I was a kid. I was the same age as those kids when those films came out, and we could not tell that they were, that's how it was. It was just the most magical thing that we'd ever seen. I've actually got a reading list here. It's Riley's reading list, and he's going through books that have film adaptations. So... He's read so far Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Then he read Matilda. And then he read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And now he's reading Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. What we're trying to do is Riley describes the characters and the locations to us and how his brain has imagined them. Then we watch the film, we see how different the film
Nice.
is to the book.
Oh, fun.
So
Nice.
he's halfway through The Hobbit, but he stopped reading that for a bit. I'm not sure if he's just not that interested in it, but I haven't told him yet that there's three films that he can watch that are adapted from the book. So he's seeing the magical side of it as well. But if I hadn't watched the Harry Potters not at the age I did, maybe I would have felt the same.
Yeah, I watched them all after they all came out, and I watched them back to back over a course of a couple of weeks. And I was like, what is everybody loving about these things? Like, and I hadn't read the books. I still haven't read the books. So maybe if you read the books, it's different. But I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I was kind of like that with Wayne's World. Everybody talks about how great it is, but I think that Austin Powers is really funny. I just think maybe I'm just not cool enough to get Wayne's World. I
You didn't
don't
grow
know.
up with Saturday Night Live when it was originally airing. That's the problem.
Yeah, maybe that's what it.
Sorry, Casey, you've gone down in my estimations. I'm sorry. That's, Wayne's World
I
is
just
just
kind of
like
didn't get it. I just don't get it. I think it doesn't. I get that it's
Yeah.
really quotable and that's fun,
Yes.
but I don't know. I just.
No, we played again. We played to the kids, trying to introduce them to, like, the old comedies and things, and they just didn't get it. They didn't see why it was funny. They have no cultural references in common with those characters. They've moved on completely. But weirdly, love Bill and Ted. Like, they got that comedy pairing from the exact same era, but they just couldn't get Wayne's World. Awesome.
A strange one.
Yeah, awesome.
The last one on my list, I only wrote down three films. I actually haven't watched this all the way through because I was halfway through and I turned to my friend I was watching it with and I said to her, "Is the dog going to die at the end of this film?" And she started laughing. And I was like, well, I'm not, what, why would I do that to myself? So I'm not going to watch the end of this film. So it was Marley and Me.
I thought you were going to say Old Yeller.
There's enough dog films, right? Where you fall in love with a dog and it's man's best friend and it's everyone's best friend and it's the town's dog and it's the city's dog and everybody knows this dog. It's universally loved and then dies at the end. Or its owner dies and then it lays on its owner's grave until it dies. And I was just like, I'm not watching it. So I've had it confirmed since then that the dog actually does die in Marley and Me. I don't know if that's just people joking around. But yeah, I will never watch that film. Why would I do that to myself? That feels masochistic. To watch a film knowingly it's going to end in heartbreak. Like, so I haven't watched it and I won't.
That's good policy to have. Paul?
I've got and the second of the Peter Sellers films, which is a film called Murder by Death, which is 1976. The synopsis of which is Lionel Twain has invited the five greatest detectives to a dinner and murder. How can they resist? Included are a blind butler, a deaf mute, sorry, a deaf mute maid, screams, spinning rooms, secret passages, false identities, and more plot turns and twists than are decently allowed. Says somebody on IMDb. That is the shortest synopsis or summary I could find, because the rest are like 5 pages long. That's not a synopsis. So this stars, now it's got all the right ingredients to comedy. It stars Peter Falk, Alec Guinness, Peter Sellers, David Niven, Maggie Smith, James Cromwell from 1976. An unusual pop-up there. And then I was reading down and went, oh my, Fay Wray was in it. Fay Wray being a black and white movie star. Oh no, she's the screaming doorbell and it's an archive sound. So it, and then I've scrolled down and it says featured reviews and one person puts flipping brilliant. I went, no, it's not. It's awful. all the comedy is telegraphed. The jokes fall flat. There's a pause after every joke to make sure that you've actually got it. And you're going,
oh, no.
And carry on. The timing is off. It's awful. I don't think I watched all of it, to be honest. And I gave it to my friend Lee because he said, "You know, oh, I'll take it off your hands." I went, damn right, you'll take it off my hands. It's the most awful film I have ever seen. Oh, horrible, horrible film. All the right ingredients are there. It's just that they've made a really bad thing out of it and not mixed it right.
That happens sometimes. It's crazy. Yeah. You have all these famous actors, all this talent, and it's a pile of stinking garbage.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the story either. I think all the jokes are not bad. There's one or two that I chuckled at. But and of course, to put the icing on the cake, of course, Peter Sellers is playing a Japanese person. So you can imagine the accent he is doing. So he's already done a bad German one. Now he's doing a bad... it's of its time and he shouldn't be doing it now. You know what I mean? That's what I'm going to say. And Sellers was quite famous for doing these different accents, which you wouldn't touch with a barge pole now. I'm watching the video clip of it now and it's awful.
Well, he's got big teeth. Do it. Don't do it yourself.
Big teeth and he's squinting in his eyes because I'm Japanese.
Oh, that's like Andy Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's. Same thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. Maybe I won't watch
it. I'm hearing you say this and I agree with it. However, controversially, there is a film that I could watch every day, which I don't think any of you will agree with. I could happily watch this film every day and just bask in the ridiculousness and social commentary of Team America World Police and be fine with it. I think that's one of the films where there's something different every time you watch it. It's ridiculous. You're not really missing much if you need to step out for a snack or to use the bathroom. And it's just absolutely the most ridiculous thing. And I just love it.
Yes. I've not seen it.
Me, I haven't either.
I think, that's on the list. I think that's on my list of, like Sean had, of films I just don't want to see. That'd be one of them.
anything that the creators of South Park do, though, I just think is great. Like the Book of Mormon, for example.
Oh,
I mean, it could be cast as a musical, though, Sean. Team America World Police.
It can't do musicals. It's not a thing.
There are songs in it. I wouldn't say it had to be seen as a musical. There are songs that are singing in the movie. There we go.
That's great. It's really quotable.
It is so quotable and very scary to think of that it's probably happening.
Exactly.
That's the weirdest thing. Thinking of movies that are scary because it probably does happen. The one that I don't want to watch again because we watched it and I still don't know why I'm supposed to care about any of the characters is The Devil Wears Prada. Cannot abide that movie, and I can't even think why it's getting a sequel or got a sequel on the way. I don't get it. I don't get why we have to celebrate horrible people running the fashion industry who then take a perfectly normal person in Anne Hathaway's character and then make her equally as horrible as they are.
And yeah, that's like supposed to be
okay. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. She's horrible to her boyfriend. She completely runs him out of her life because she needs to have her career. But the career that she wants is horrible, abusive, is controlling in every way of who she is as a person. And we're supposed to celebrate this movie and think that it's a commentary on anything. No, she just gets destroyed. She's not a very nice person in the end of the movie. And anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. So yeah, I don't want to watch that ever again.
I never wanted to see it, and I haven't.
Terrible movie. Please don't. It doesn't need any more.
I think my wife's got it. Yeah.
It didn't look remotely interesting to me, so.
No. We've got the same problem with a TV show we're watching at the moment called The Morning Show on Apple TV. It's Jennifer Aniston. It's set around a morning TV show that in the first season, their lead anchor gets accused of sexual misconduct. And then it's the fallout from that, all of the political fallouts from it. And they find that there's more corruption in the company and stuff. And as the seasons go on, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And gradually, as these characters have been revealed for the people that they are and the things they've done in the past, there's just not a redeeming character in the entire show. We started off liking these people, and then we've hated them as we've gone on. So we almost hate watching the show just for completionist's sake. But actually, it's got the same problem as Devil Wears Prada.
I'm having that with Better Call Saul, but I feel like that's on purpose. I feel like with The Devil Wears Prada, you're supposed to find the characters funny or endearing in some weird way.
That's it. They present in some weird way, as heroes. Yeah.
I don't know. Vince Gilligan is just really good at making like central characters that you really want to root for, but you just can't. Like everyone's like, oh my gosh, Walt White is amazing. He's the best person ever. I'm like, he's actually the worst person ever. And I'm having the same thing with Saul Goodman now watching Better Call Saul. So redeeming characters in that show. Oh, I don't know if anyone's seen it, but I just know Nacho's gonna die. We're so close to the end, and I don't want it to happen, but here we are.
Sean, what's your next pick?
That's it, I'm out.
That's it, you're out. Oh, Paul?
Yeah, I'll go for I'll go for an Oscar-winning film. I always say that if a film wins an Oscar, I'll never watch it. This I watched, then it won an Oscar. And I went, oh, if I'd known it was going to win an Oscar, I wouldn't have watched it. And the same with Schindler's List. Although having said that, Schindler's List is, it breaks my rule that, you know, it is such a good film. There are others that have won Oscars and they are not good films. And this is one of them. Birdman. Michael Keaton, Edward Norton, Emma
God,
Stone.
That was horrendous.
Wasn't it just?
I really enjoyed that film. I enjoyed that film a lot. I don't know. I don't know if it was the music or if it was the tracking shots or it was just
the
really
tracking
I don't
shots.
Know.
It was very clever, very good. And there was long, I think there might have been two camera cuts in the whole film. If it was done the way I thought it was done, it was supposed to be one. You know, it was supposed to look as though it was one continuous camera shot, but there was two cuts in it, and that frustrated me because I thought either do it or don't. You know, make it into, and it's a stage show. Effectively, you got all the actors there who know how to do stage performances. They can memorize lines like crazy. They could have done that in one take, and done it as a stage show and effectively, and then hey presto, it would have been done. But what was it doing? It was going on and on and on. I thought, well, who's this Birdman then? What's he going to do? You're going to get to see him at the end. Oh, for goodness sake. I thought it was a superhero film. Well, yeah, okay. An anti-hero film, maybe? No. It's just awful. Even Kat doesn't like it. Look, you don't like
it.
Yeah,
I can't remember anything about it, but I remember not enjoying it at all. I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I was impressed by the camera work, but that was about it.
Oh, for sure. But that's it, yeah.
So there's that one, and it must be something to do with the titles, because Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Is it, was it like, what's this awe business? Give it one title, Doctor Strangelove. Or no, don't go any more awe.
So you just don't like being given decisions in your movie titles. That's
exactly,
I like that.
Stick to the plan. You know. the one that I was going to say is The Abyss, from whenever that was made. I can't remember, but it was. Cracking actor in whoever it was. I've got it up on IMDb. I wasn't quick enough.
James Cameron directed the thing.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It was a very good story about, you know, aliens and all this type of thing. You don't know it's aliens until near the end. 1989. I have to take a deep breath just to say it. Ed Harris, fabulous actor. Absolutely love him. Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, again. Michael Biehn, both of them excellent actors. Good film, sort of. One scene cripples me every time, and I have not been able to swim underwater ever since. And that's where they put him in that diving suit, and they fill it with liquid. And they fill it with liquid because the liquid is oxygenated. It then goes into his lungs, and it fills his lungs, and therefore he can take the pressure of going deep into the, you know, like 1-2 miles down in the water. You see the water going up in the, you know, going higher and higher into the helmet, and he starts kicking and booting, and they're all trying to hold him down because he goes, breathe, take the water in. When he does, he goes, and then he realizes he can breathe. It's heavily oxygenated water or liquid. But watching that, you're watching a guy drown. It's horrible. Yeah. He then goes down and finds this alien spaceship. He goes inside, and I love the effect. It's very simply done, but I love the effect. He's sitting upright, and the water drains from front in front of him to the back of him. So the water that was in this chamber drains sideways. And he sat there and he takes off the helmet. And he, you know, obviously, because he can, you know, he can breathe in this, you know, they've obviously pumped air into this chamber. And then he pukes up all this liquid, because obviously there's liquid in his lungs now, and he's got to go. And he takes the biggest, longest breath you've ever heard. And I'm sitting there going, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I'm holding my breath because of it. I came out of the cinema. I was watched it with my uncle. We came out, and as Ed Harris had done in the film, I got outside and I went, oh, I just couldn't get a breath.
Oh, so, that sounds horrible. I mean, what happens when he needs to go back out of the ship? Can he just put this helmet back on? And how does that work?
I think what they do is that the aliens realize they've been rumbled and they take him to the surface. I think that's how it was. I can't remember. I've only watched it once. I don't plan on watching it again. But it was a good film. It's just, yeah, because they don't know what's down there. They find out that it is an alien. And Michael Biehn is part of the Marines or whatever he is. You know, he's part of the army. And they're trying to, for the army, they're trying to take over the aliens or destroy them or whatever it is. You know, the standard story. Find aliens, somebody who wants to kill them and somebody who wants to save them. But I do love Ed Harris. I think he's a fabulous actor. However, never watch that again. I can't breathe.
Yeah, I do like to breathe. Kind of reminds me of another film I just can't bother to ever watch again. If somebody said, let's sit down and watch this film, I've never seen it, I'd be like, no, and that's Waterworld. I'd just be like, no, I just can't be bothered. No. I just can't be bothered. Lots of things I'd rather do with that much of my time.
Yes, it's Mad Max on water, and it's not as good. So, no.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've got one that Casey's going to kick me for, The Green Mile. I'm not watching that again. I know you put it on my list, but I'm not watching that again. It's an awful film.
But it's good.
My wife got a lot more out of it than I did. I'll give you that. So obviously people do see it for what it probably is. And I just couldn't see it. I just did not get on with it. It was too long. It was getting nowhere. It was just a jail film until at the end when it got all weird. It's just...
Mr. Jingles.
And then...
Walking the mile.
And then the other one was... The Sixth Sense. I think it was that one. Is it the one where you can see dead people or something or other? Or is that the one?
Yeah,
that's the one. Yeah,
that's the one.
So
I've only seen it the once.
I've only seen half, not even half. I sat there in the cinema with my wife, and of course the guy at the beginning, there's a funny noise. You know, the guy gets up to see what's going on, and he's looking around his house, and then the camera sort of slowly pans round into a room, and you see a pair of feet, and you go, oh my God, that's a person. Oh my God, it's a person. And there's somebody stood there. And I just closed my eyes and went, nope, not watching that. Not watching that. Nope, don't want to watch that. And I just closed my eyes and fell asleep. I didn't watch the rest of it. And I woke up at the end, as it was very near the end, and I'm going, what's going on? What? Why is he seeing? Why is he talking to him? But nobody else can see him. What? I don't understand. So no, I'm out. That was probably just too bizarre for me. Another one, very quickly, because I know we're short of time. But The Secret Garden. Another one.
I love The Secret Garden
because it's not the film I thought it was, and I cannot remember what the actual. There was a TV series when I was a kid back in the 70s. It was about a clock that in an old Victorian house that a young girl was sleeping with her grandmother. And it might have been a lad, I can't remember. And every time the clock struck midnight, it actually struck 13. So they go downstairs to find out what's going on, and they open the back door, and suddenly there's this garden that wasn't there before. Now, that to me is The Secret Garden. They then have adventures in it. They do things, they come back, and they meet another girl there. They get to know her, but when they come back through the door, the garden disappears. They're back in the house. It later transpires that the girl that they are seeing in this secret garden is the grandmother of the actual house that they are living in at the moment. And she remembers them, but couldn't say anything until they discover who she is. So it was a great, great little mystery of a play. But I assumed that that's what I was going to see. And when I got there, I went, what the fuck is this? This is not the secret garden.
This is garden. Yeah, it was one of the only tapes my babysitter had when I was in school. So I was about probably about 10, and I'd just go home and watch it at her house. That or Aladdin. So it was either the Secret Garden or Prince.
Yeah,
Ali.
Secret.
One of the two.
I think we had a copy of Secret Garden. It was twinned with another movie called The Littlest Indian, and it was a tiny little toy Indian who came to life, like a Native American, is how it should be said, in a cupboard. Yeah, and it was on the same VHS, and you could watch both back to back. But yeah, that's the only memory I have of that. Casey, do you have any more?
You know, what I'm talking about, that has just reminded me of, like, films that I just don't want to watch again because of how sad they are. And that's like E.T., King Kong, The Iron Giant. I don't want to have a friend that nobody else in the world has ever got to be friends with, and then they're ripped away from me. Ever. So, yeah, I don't know. If you could get, like, artificial intelligence, nope. Don't want to. Like, even Gremlins to some extent. Like, I don't want to have that. I don't want to have that in my life and then not have it. So I'd just rather not watch those films. The Iron Giant, when I was a kid, I was heartbroken. I never thought I'd fall in love again after watching The Iron Giant. Voiced by Vin Diesel, who just does, like, you know, one-word animated characters really well. But that's it for my list. Yeah,
that's it. You're all done.
Yeah.
There we go. For the rest of mine, this one I don't want to ever watch again because I had to sit through it so many dates that I went on back in the day when I was thinking I was a playboy and all this kind of stuff. But every single date, we would go back to theirs and watch Dirty Freaking Dancing. Again. So, oh, for God's sake.
You could quote
the biggest red flag.
And they were like, oh.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Like, oh, have you seen this film before? Do you like it? It's like, no, I really don't. I don't want to watch this again. Biggest red flag ever. It's just, oh, I can't stand it. It's just, I mean, forget the fact that it's problematic in today's thing anyway because of his age and her age and everything like that. Just the movie itself sucks. It sucks so bad, and I really wish that people could see it for what it truly was, but I just don't get it. Well, I don't know why it's so popular, but it's another one.
Because like nobody Devil puts Wears Baby Prada in a corner.
Yeah.
That's right, Sean. Lee came just, home the other day from the supermarket, and he was like, so I had to help June, and then I ended up with, I carried the watermelon, and I was like, you just quoted Dirty Dancing, and he was like, what? And I was like, you just quoted Dirty Dancing. He was like, I did not. I was like, you did.
That's the annoying thing is, like, if you do get to circumstances where you can use the quotes, I feel physically dirty in myself. Like, I need to go and shit shower if I've actually used a quote from that film because I've seen it and it's in the brain and it will never leave. I'll be on my deathbed and there'll be a last synapse firing and it will be like, I'm having the time of my... And when that happens, I will be so mad at myself. There we go. Another one, this is a Japanese movie that I'm really sorry, but my best man, Andy, you tried to get me to watch this twice. It's at least 4 hours long. It's a Japanese animated live action anime movie. So it's live action and then they've anime drawn over the actual thing. Mm-hmm. It's from 2004. It's black and white. It's set in a dystopian future, I think, where the European Alliance destroyed the eastern part of the world. I don't quite remember because I couldn't pay attention to it. But it's long drawn out shots for about 20 minutes of this guy lifting his sword and getting prepared to fight in a war somehow. He's got this thing over his face, like a grill over his face. It's called Kashern. I can't quite get the pronunciation right. 2004. It's I honestly don't remember the movie. I cannot for the life of me. I watched it, didn't fall asleep because I was still young back then. But for some reason, I don't know. I couldn't process the movie. The plot, I don't know what it is. I just don't know what happened. But 4 hours of just watching this guy raise a sword, that's all it was.
It's a classic of the genre, and you're missing out, and you need to go back and revisit it.
I hope it is. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
I've never heard of it, Kane, so I'm just making it up.
I don't know. the only movie where I've actually walked out of the cinema before the credits rolled was Gangs of New York. Within 5 minutes of this movie, it had a great setup. Liam Neeson was a priest who was leading a gang of guys in New York in this big fight against Daniel Day-Lewis, who was leading a separate gang. They have this massive fight. Unfortunately, Liam Neeson dies and his gang gets taken over by Daniel Day-Lewis. And then 20 years later, Leo DiCaprio comes back and he was actually the son or someone related to the priest. And then he leads another gang and they're going to go and fight against Daniel Day-Lewis. And it's just 3 hours of them setting up another fight when a first fight in the movie was actually way more interesting because it's the idea of a priest. He's fighting against people. He's actually a fighting priest. What a great idea for a movie. But no, they decided to go for Leonardo DiCaprio, who was a guy in New York leading a gang in New York. That's it. That's the movie for a very long time. Every single one of us, Dave and Steve, who I mentioned there, we all sat in this row watching the cinema, and at the exact same time all checked our watches, which back then used to glow when you looked at them, and we all checked our watches to see how long we had left of the movie, and we all just left before it finished because it was so dull. Awful movie. Just terrible in all ways. And speaking of, my final pick is going to be from last year. You all know my favorite franchise is Star Trek, and there is one movie which I will never acknowledge ever again. It came out last year. It was supposed to be a TV movie, I think. It was then going to be a six-part series, mini-series, which I think would have been better served. But they decided to go with TV movie Section 31.
Horrendous.
Michelle Yeoh plays the ass-kicking mirror universe version of her character from the Star Trek universe. Leading a ragtag band of people who, I don't know, had some kind of backstory. I have no idea what it was because I kind of gave up listening. But they were going on some sort of mission to do something with light and explosions, and there were things happening and people said words. And then it ended. And there was a little cameo from Jamie Lee Curtis at the end. That's all I remember about this movie, and that's all I care to remember about this
movie. That's pretty much it. Yeah, it was horrendous, and I can watch all the Star Trek movies over and over and over again, but I'll never watch that one again.
Yeah. The best thing about it is that Star Trek V is no longer the worst Star Trek movie, so that's okay.
There you go.
And that's it. That's all my picks. Is everybody got any more?
We're done. You can close us out.
Well, let's close it out.
Well, before we do, a quick shout to what's happening next month.
Yes,
we came back off our holiday at Christmas and went back into work, and I messaged one of my colleagues. She's Polish, and she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I just about managed to drag my carcass out of the bed and get into work." She emailed me back and said, "You've just taught me a new word, carcass." I went, there you go. I said, that's a good idea. So I said, well, in that case, I can give you another word tomorrow. And this has continued. So I have to give her now a new word every day. Mm-hmm. So this week, last week, oh, there goes the cat. The first word was flabbergasted. The second word was discombobulated. Another one was nesh. Then hullabaloo. And sozzled. And that's all I'm going to say for this month. If you want to hear the rest of them and what they mean, and Sean can learn a few new words here, I'm sure. Maybe even Casey, because some of these are old words and may not be around anymore, but I either use them or have heard of them or have used them at some point in my life. So that's the criteria. I must know what they are, otherwise, because people keep throwing me words and I go, no, I've never heard of that one. There's no point in teaching me that one. I can't explain that to a Polish lady. I have to have some context that I can give. So that is the next podcast will be words, old words that we don't use very often, are not bandied around. Oh, there's another one, bandied. And if you guys can come up with a few as well that may or may not be on this list, that'd be great.
Sounds good.
Sounds
good
fun.
Topic. There we go. Very cool. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to go on a little research spree. Right. Okay. So I'm going to close out the episode. So our cosmic
Dan,
pizza.
You scallywag.
Such a scally. Our cosmic pizza has been consumed by our fantastic listener, and the grease in the box is cold. We hope you're full to the brim. So join us for another slice of life next time in another special delivery of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. And end scene.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.